I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You ready for this? That's right. It's Come Along Pond podcast. And it's a bonus episode. And you are joined as always. Exactly. And you are joined as always by your two favourite queers. Well, I hope we're your two favourite queers. Damla.
And Elliot. We shouldn't be. We're like some of the worst ones.
Oh, God. How lucky are you? You got a bonus episode. You probably just listened to Science in the Library. Now you got this. God, we just...
Amazing.
We keep you fed. Don't say we don't keep you fed. Elliot, how are you?
Hello. Yeah. I'm all right. It's post-Easter.
It is.
So a little bit sad because I won't ever be able to get cream egg or a Reese's peanut butter egg, not Spawn. But, you know, I won't be able to buy all of the luscious treats that I enjoy until...
Next year.
Well, after Christmas this year. Yeah. So... That does make me sad. Do what doesn't make me sad, though.
What?
Doctor Who news.
Do you know what? It's actually mad, guys. So we are recording the day after the second trailers dropped and the episode title reveal has happened for series 14 slash series 1, which is what we're talking about today, because it's a fun time. It's going to be a fun time. We just want to have a cute little momo where we discuss the two trailers. But the thing that we mainly want to do is talk about these episode titles and... because no one asked for it, we're going to rank them totally based on vibes before it's even come out.
We want to give you our opinion on something that doesn't exist yet, but we will say it and we'll stick by it forever. And if you challenge us on it, we'll get angry.
And I guess what inspired us to do this, and I'll let Elliot take over in a second because they are way more versed in this than I am, but I have enjoyed seeing it. So basically, as you're fully aware by now, because I mentioned it because it's part of my personality at this point, I don't have Twitter because I'm different. And part of the reason I don't have Twitter is because people are just horrid on there. Like, they're just not nice. Especially the Doctor Who community. A lot of people out there are just, woof. And something we've been seeing, and we're not going to name any names at all, but there's like a bunch of people who have just been debating stuff that isn't a thing yet, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, Doctor Who fans, the universe could end and like there would be one Doctor Who fan left and he would just be like arguing with the dirt.
Yeah.
About stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And no one cares about.
It's so funny. Like there would just be tweets and tweets going like this is, you know, the episode titles hadn't even been released yet. And it's like, oh my God, so I'm going to rank the episodes based off of what we know so far. And also I'm going to hate them already, even though I'm not seeing them. And it's like, that's so funny.
And it's like, what you know so far is all rumour and speculation.
Yeah.
I don't care if they happen to then end up being relatively accurate.
Yeah.
It's rumour and speculation. Just shut up.
Yeah. And there's like, one of the things that sent me the most was, well, two things actually that sent me. It's like, specific plot lines that have in no way been confirmed or denied. No one said a fucking thing. And people are writing post after post about why they hate that. And it's like, so like, Oh, Ruby Sunday is Kate Stewart's daughter. And it's like, I'm going to tell you why that's such a bad idea. And it's like, hey, psst, here's a secret. That's not a thing yet. Or it's may not even be a thing. Yeah, not happened. But then do you know what's even better, Elliot? What's even more fun? Another thing, this is just an extra little bonus comment I want to say, is people complaining about how the release of things is impeding on their time.
I was eating dinner when they released two of the titles of the episodes. How dare the BBC not understand my personal schedule on Easter Sunday?
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, there's the amount of stuff.
And what gets me is it's grown people. Like, yeah. Genuinely, there was a man, you know, I would say, at nicest calculation, in his early 40s, saying, what time is the trailer going to come out on Easter Sunday? I'm at my parents-in-law. I need to watch the trailer. They should tell us what's like. No, they shouldn't tell you what time it's coming out. It don't matter. If you were too busy to, like, check your phone to like look at social media and stuff. You're too busy to watch a trailer. It's fine. If you can't be brave and stay up until midnight because you know you can't, that's fine. Don't do it. Watch it the next morning on iPlayer. Stay off your phone. Watch it the next day. No one cares.
No one gives a shit. So obviously, series 14, so series 1, whatever. Should we just call it series 14 for the sake of for ease?
It makes it clearer in our timeline.
Exactly.
But I'm not one of those people who in real life are going to be like, oh, it's season 1. It should be season 14. I literally
couldn't care less.
So what's even worse is the people who call it season 40.
Oh, don't.
I love people who do that. It's so cringy.
Basically, the date for the first episode was released. What they're doing is they're releasing, and I'm sure you're fully aware of this by now, they're releasing the two episodes at midnight. And obviously this goes against like what Doctor Who's done in the past and all this shit. Da, 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 and everyone's been kicking up a fuss over it going, how am I supposed to stay up till midnight and watch two episodes? Because I'll get spoiled if I don't stay up. Oh my God, the BBC, why have they done this? Da, da, da. Hey, got another secret for you. How about you tackle your phone addiction and just stay off your phone until the next day and just watch it at an appropriate time? Like me, I've actually got plans that day. I'm going out with a friend for majority of the day. So I'm not going to stay up the night before because I actually, you know, I have control of my own time. And I'm going to go out with my friend. And then when I get back that evening, I'm going to watch the two episodes with a cup of tea and probably a little biscuit and just have a good time. You know?
Like, it's no different if you're out when an episode's broadcasting. I mean, yeah, we were in Cardiff when The Giggle went out. And we just didn't check social media.
Yeah, but that's because,
easy.
You know, we don't have phone addictions, I guess.
Yeah, but like, it's also, I just hate this idea that it's like a God-given right that you deserve to watch Doctor Who as and when you demand it and completely unimpeded. And unfortunately, it's just not how the world works, you know?
Because
if you surround yourself in a space with people who post spoilers and share spoilers, well, that is your problem to mitigate. It's not got anything to do with the BBC.
Like, you know, I'm sure we're both going to be staying off of the pod socials until we've both seen it because we don't want to get spoiled. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, my plan at the moment is if nothing changes is to stay up until midnight, probably watch the first episode, then go to bed, and then when I wake up the next morning, watch the second one.
Yeah, because
I say that, I'll probably watch the first one and go, oh, I need to watch the second one. You know, but like, it's fine. Who cares?
It just doesn't matter. But anyway, basically, we just wanted to mention that stuff because it's so funny to see people lose their fucking mind over stupid shit. It's so fun. Thank you for my entertainment, middle-aged men who have no lives. Thank you so much.
middle-aged men who live on Twitter and complain about Doctor Who.
Just get a fucking grip. Anyway, like I said, up top, today we're going to talk about the trailers and the episode titles. But before we do, we got to get that gorgeous theme tune in. And also, I want to show off the t-shirt I'm wearing. That's right, nice. Baby. If you don't have Patreon, just want to explain for the listeners, I'm wearing a Shooty Gatwa shirt that I got for $3.99 at Forbidden Planet. We love a bargain.
So, yeah, our first segment, as though chipped away from an entirely whole Terry Chocolate Orange. I'm a poet. We are going to just do, like, thoughts, opinions, breakdowns. You know, we're not a things you missed, what could this mean? Kind of trailer.
Yeah, no.
We're what do we feel? What do we think? What do we like? What do we not like? And are we looking forward to it? Of the Disney Plus trailer and also the Far Superior BBC One trailer that was put out almost a week apart, respectively. So we're just gonna give some quick thoughts and opinions about that.
Hell,
if you
yeah.
don't like it, I don't like you.
Yeah, so essentially, I was at work when the Disney Plus trailer came out. And I remember it dropping and I was literally screaming and I filmed my reaction and I put it on Instagram for everyone, on story. So if you haven't seen it, you've missed it, and that's that. but to be fair, it was me just going, okay, I see that. Okay, David Bowie, I hear you. You know, it was very much that. I'll be honest, as someone who works in marketing in that realm, like trailers, promotional stuff, it didn't completely blow me away.
I will raise you one step further. I didn't even like it.
That's fair.
And not even like I didn't dislike it. I didn't watch it and go, oh, all of this looks bad. But I watched it and I was like, well, that's not a good trailer.
Yeah, it's... So in terms of, like, I actually just want to say, in terms of, like, the trailers themselves, I do think, you know, they've really stepped up the budget and, like, they've obviously gotten some really, you know, very experienced trailer editors, whoever they may be, to edit them. And they are both really well edited. More, I'd say the second one.
Yeah.
You know, like, we both prefer the BBC one.
But I have a feeling it's maybe because the second one has been given more material to work with.
Exactly.
Or, like, more, like, because the second one does, I think, what we all like, where it kind of has a bit of narrative through line to it. Like,
yeah.
they're telling you about, and it's all focused around Ruby, so obviously it's like, but it's telling you about, you know, it's the Doctor kind of introducing the concept of who he is, then introducing who Ruby is, and then setting up the threat for the finale. You have that coherent through line, whereas the Disney one is just kind of vibes of stuff happening.
Yeah, and it's also more...
But probably because they weren't allowed to give away story spoilers.
That, and also I think because it's more like introducing new people to Doctor Who as well. So, and that's why there was a lot of clips of Church on Ruby Road, which didn't leave much room for new stuff.
Yeah.
But I'd say, so, like I said, we're not going to go through shot by shot, frame by frame, because that is actually exhausting, and, like, everyone's already done
things,
it anyway.
Things you missed is Davros actually in the trailer.
oh my god, the Master's back. Oh my god.
If we say it enough, it'll happen.
Well, I want to talk about a possible rumour and a possible thing that is only strengthened in my mind since seeing the BBC one.
But also, I think it's based on how linear time works. If you do just keep saying the Master's coming back, and you say that every day until, you know, 10 years down the line he makes another reappearance, you can go, see, I was right.
Yeah, exactly. Which is quite clever. So, we're not talking about the Master, obviously. I want to talk about the rumour straight off the bat, because I find it funny, that Jonathan Groff as replacing John Barrowman as Captain Jack. The BBC trailer has only strengthened that theory for me personally with like the gun and the looks and the... I mean, listen, if Jonathan Groff and Shooty don't kiss in that bloody episode, I will too.
yeah, I'll be very upset.
I'll be really upset. I'll actually call out homophobia on you, straight up. like, the looks they were giving each other in both trailers, I was like, oh my God. But I really, I don't know, look, I would just find it funny if they replaced Captain Jack. Because you know there's going to be one half of the internet who, like, love John Barrowman for some reason. God knows why. And the other half of the internet going, slay, we love that. Because the thing is, I've said this before, personally speaking, Captain Jack is a character that I adore and I love and is very important to me growing up. And yes, John Barrowman, what is the face of that character as of right now? We don't know. But unfortunately, with all of the shit that happened and went down with John Barrowman and like the stuff he's done, it's tainted. It's completely tainted. So I think it'd be a real shame. I mean, look, I'm very much like, you know, we can get rid of characters if they don't serve us anymore, fine. But I think it'd be really fun to bring back Captain Jack. But like, you know, different actor. There's no, I don't think it's, I mean, you know.
He morphs into a giant face in a tank.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's perfectly believable that he just kind of, his appearance weirdly morphs over time.
I think what it is with the whole John Barrowman thing, it'll be really funny because, as you see, also, if you're not aware of the whole, of why John Barrowman now is someone that we don't talk about in that way, is go do your research. But basically, he was being inappropriate on set back when they were filming Torchwood and like early series of Doctor Who and not good things. There's many things about John Barrowman in the industry, not good things either. So, like, go and do your research on that. We've done it. Can't be asked to repeat it here. Go do that.
Also, even if he like wasn't like a bad person who'd done terrible things as well, there is just a level of I just don't really like him because he's really clung onto Doctor Who as like a thing, and it's very tacky.
But also, something that I saw. So this is just a side thing I want to add in here is so when the 60th was going down. This came up on my For You page just randomly, and it was of John basically on TikTok going, you know, happy 60 years to Doctor Who, da da da. Unfortunately, I wasn't asked to join in on these celebrations, which is really sad, but like, you know, whatever. And it's like, you're so bitter and you're still not getting it. You're still not understanding why. There's a reason.
But even if there wasn't, it's like, you know, some people just weren't asked.
Yeah, not everyone was asked to join
deal
in.
With it.
Yeah. You know, like, anyway. And I mean, that's the episode, that's Rogue, isn't it? That's really, really fun. And again, you know, I love a period drama. That whole setting and all of those visuals look so, so fun. Like those people who morph into like weird bird things. I don't really know. Can't wait to see what happens with that. I also, Jinx Monsoon.
She's there.
Jinx Monsoon. Jinx Monsoon. The day that she was announced to be on the show, I was already dying. But just seeing the visuals, it's just so much better. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I'm very excited. Is there anything... They're like my main things. Like what is... Is there any other things that you were like, oh, that's interesting?
I mean, I don't know. From the trailer, I was just like, oh, I'm really enjoying this. There was definitely a couple of titles that I was from the moments from the trailer, honestly, I mean, I told you when I first watched the Disney Plus trailer, like the thing that I was happiest about most was seeing the sundaes.
Oh my God, yeah. Not enough of them,
although,
if you ask me.
I mean, no, a severe lack of cherry sundae.
Yeah, what the hell? What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like knowing that we're going to sort of return to them and talk to them is nice and that makes you feel happy. And in the newer one, I mean, seeing a heavy focus on Ruby...
Right.
Is always welcome.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think one criticism that that's probably out there is like these trailers have, or especially the BBC one, again the far superior one, is that there's such a heavy focus on Ruby instead of the Doctor, and I'm like, I don't think that's a problem because I love her.
But also that is, you know, it's the companion is essentially the main character.
Yeah.
Of the season that they're in, you know.
The companion is us. That's the eyes we see it from, you know? Yeah.
I think, as well, I would be excited for maybe getting to see more of Shooty's range as an actor.
Oh, 100%.
But not in a Moffat speech.
Well...
I actually think...
No, go on. Go on, hon.
I don't want to complain about the man. It's almost this old hat at this point. It's boring, especially because we're in the middle of a Save Moffat episode on a two-parter as well.
Yeah.
But I did think how Giggle and Church on Ruby Road goes, and I mean, obviously you don't know what's going to happen, but if that is from episode 3.
Yeah.
I personally, just my gut instinct is just like, that feels really out of character for this version of the Doctor. Already. We're kind of meant to have like a little soft restart, and I don't want him already going like, I can burn battlefields to dust and I am a god. I was like, My other biggest point of contention, and I would never say anything negative about him because I love him. He's adorable.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic as the Doctor, but I didn't think the line read was very good.
Fair enough.
It was a bit flat for me.
Fair enough.
You know, like, it was nice. It was nice to see a bit more range, and it was like his face acting was good.
Oh,
face
yeah,
was
yeah,
very
yeah.
good. But like the actual way he was saying the lines, I was a bit like, I was like, my hope and my assumption is that it's just weirdly spliced lines in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, like,
because you do
Franken-cut.
Get that in a lot of film
yeah.
trailers where they Franken-cut a line together and then it makes someone sound like they have no emotion because there's no consistency in how they're saying things.
100%. So it might just be that.
I hope it's that because I believe he's a good actor.
He's a great actor, but obviously now because you don't like the way it's read, you hate that episode, and therefore you won't watch the series, right?
I mean, I do pre-hate that episode, but that's just because it's. I know what it's going to be. And I will never watch it, and I hate the series, and it's terrible. And why'd they call it Series 1? They should have called it Season 40. And we all know that, really, let's be honest, Doctor Who ended after William Hartnell left in The Smugglers. Like, The Smugglers was the last good episode of Doctor Who, because even the episode where he regenerates is not very good. Let's be
yeah,
real.
Yeah, fuck all, everything
Doctor Who,
else.
Doctor Who's not been relevant since, like, 1965.
It's actually been so relevant. Just a couple of other little things. As much as I didn't, the Disney Plus one wasn't my favourite out of the two. The queue, the David Bowie queue with changes was so fun. Like, I love the way they kind of mixed that. I think that was really fun.
I keep looking at Lizard Ruby.
Okay, let's talk about Lizard Ruby actually, real quick, while it's on the mind. That took me out as well. I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Mm.
I mean, the amount of people keep going, I hope it's not just a joke. I hope it's not just a silly joke. It better be a plot point. It's like, sometimes we do jokes.
How about...
What would the plot point be?
I just find people's opinions so annoying sometimes. Like, I don't know, it's not even an opinion. It's just a statement that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Next thing, I think it's not even like it's an opinion. It's not like people go, you know, oh, I think this is funny as like a one-off joke. But personally, for me, you know, like it would be interesting to see that developed into a full plot point. It's just people going, this better happen.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm
exactly.
gonna be angry.
Exactly.
Like, okay, well, shut up, you child.
I just don't know what it is, and maybe some people think it's annoying that we always bring up the Doctor Who fandom where people react to things. But I think it just sometimes it needs to be called out. Where it's like, are we not allowed to just fucking enjoy things anymore? Like, do we always have to just be negative and moan about everything?
Yeah, and like, you know, criticism is fine. Criticism, you know, nothing should ever be just praised uncritically. But also,
yeah.
like, you know, there's a difference between having critical praise of things and also just like being a whiny. Spoiled child.
Exactly.
And the
but that's by the by.
Why do you spoil child?
One last little thing I personally want to bring up is there's a shot of 15 in the Disney trailer where he just screams into space.
Mm.
Hell yeah. Now that's content. That's me. That's me coded right there. Screaming into space, into the empty void of space. Love that shit. Give me more of that shit. Love to see it. So cool. But then also you get just that kind of juxtaposition with the episode, I'm assuming The Devil's Chord, where, you know, it's, we're in the 60s, it's the Beatles episode, and it's 100% a musical episode. And if it's not,
I mean,
no, that has to happen. No, that must happen. That has to happen.
I mean, I think based on the BBC trailer, it's so clearly a musical episode. There is like at least two separate musical numbers in it.
It's about damn time. It's about damn time.
Again, people are angry about that. You know, people didn't like the singing in Church on Ruby Road. People are never going to be happy.
Go over there. Go stand in that corner and think about what you've said, you silly little people. I've had enough.
Getting potentially a Beatles jukebox musical.
Elliot, we, you and me, you and I, Damlo and Elliot, we're being fed.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be... like if people are... And I think a lot of people pretend that people use this as an excuse, and I don't think we do. You know, it's a genuine preference thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like Doctor Who when it's being camp.
So do I,
like,
yeah.
I like it when it can take itself seriously. I like it, but, you know, a lot of my favourite a lot of my favourite stuff is like some of the more, you know, serious cutting edge ones. But those ones only work because they cut through a sort of sea of campiness. And even then, when it's being serious, it can still be really camp. And I think, you know, it's part of my dislike for some Doctor Who over the past like 10 years is that it got very self-serious.
Yeah, yeah. Same. 100%. I feel the same, yeah.
And like, I'm excited for it to be camp again. There's that shot where they're looking at destroyed London. And again, I don't just want to be like, you know, these people are annoying. But someone was like, I really hope that's not what London looks like if, like, the Beatles never existed. Because, like, that would be really stupid. And, like, I was like, I hadn't considered that. But I really hope that's what that is. Because it's really funny.
That is really
funny. It's really, like, I don't think it is, because there seems to be a lot of emotion in, like, Ruby's face. And, you know, like, it seems to be a bit more of a serious moment. But I love the idea of, like, you know, them going all the way through that episode, and then the Doctor's like, hey, Rubes, let me show you what the world looks like if the Beatles never existed. And, like, instead of it being a funny, wacky yesterday, you know, whoa, the Beatles never existed, whoa, it's just everything is shit and has been blown up.
Like, literally, everything is hilarious. So crap because we didn't get the Beatles. Like, that is hilarious.
But I also, I need a Ringo cameo. Ringo's playing alien.
I need actual Paul McCartney in that episode. Actual, real-life Paul McCartney, my boy. Our boy. Our boy who we love very much.
Yeah, he'd be a companion, but Ringo would be like an alien menace.
And this is where we announce we have a Paul McCartney podcast, which we also almost actually did for real. Not joking. Fully not joking. Like, seriously. Very serious. But I guess, okay, overall, on the trailer, and I feel like we've pretty much feel very similar on this, is that we are just, it's just getting better for me. Like, what, you know, I have not felt this excited for the show to come back in years. Like, this is, it's just the energy, the vibes, the fun.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
You know?
Yeah, like, I even feel more, I'm more looking forward to it than I was for the 60th.
Yeah, low-key same. Low-key same, not gonna lie. Oh. One last thing I want to say. This is really nerdy and really annoying and no one fucking gives a shit, but I do. The Disney trailer, when it came out, when Ruby and 15 step out of the TARDIS and they're like with all the dinosaurs and stuff, which slay, love that. It was, the shot was really flat and really like there was no colour to it at all. And I was like, oh my God, they've left an ungraded shot in there. And there was loads of people going, oh my God, they've left the raw footage in there. Yeah, because the raw footage would have dinosaurs in it, moron. Go do some research. Sorry, that was really funny. But then the second thing is like, apparently they just exported it incorrectly.
Apparently if you watch it, if you're in America, you can watch the trailer on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You can't watch it on Disney Plus in this country, just on the YouTube channel. Apparently the version on Disney Plus is graded correctly.
Yeah.
With like high dynamic range available. Yeah. But the version that you can watch on YouTube that the BBC then uploaded to their YouTube is like a poorly exported, non-HDR, ungraded. Because it does look really flat.
It does look really flat. And sorry, I wanted to mention that because again, I work in this field and I found that really interesting.
But yeah, I mean, just in comparison, the BBC trailer like is very clearly correctly colour graded and looks much better and more vibrant.
Exactly. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because I'm a nerd. Okay, so episode titles. Here we fucking go. First of all, loved that they each episode title had its own, like, you know, graphic design for it. I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful touch. I love that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I preferred it to getting a trailer where they were just like...
Same.
Here's one, here's one, here's one. It was much nicer. It kind of reminds me of... Sorry, it kind of reminds me of... anybody who watches Inside Number 9, they do... When they reveal the titles, I think just as the episode's going out, basically they still make, like... They make classic-looking, hand-painted style, like, cinema posters for them.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Yeah.
And they're really, really gorgeous. And it kind of reminded me of that. It's like, you know, just a little bit of extra fun.
I love that. Into it. Yeah. Why not? Let's not be boring. Let's do something different. And also, there's so many wonderful and talented graphic designers out there. Like, let's put them to good use. And, like, it's fun. I love it. So, I took the liberty of writing down each episode title and who wrote them and directed them. One thing I want to say, and I fucking love it, immediately before we even read the titles out, only 8 episodes. Stunning. Gorgeous!
No, but Deborah, love there's that. 8 episodes, and 2 of them are going to be on at the same time, so Doctor Who's only going to be on for, like, 6 weeks of the year, and that's really sad, because I need it all the time. I'm a little baby who can't wait for nice things that I like, please. I need my nappy changing. I can't believe it.
Like, just because it's always been...
It's going to finish in, like, June, and then it's not going to be on again until Christmas. How could I wait till Christmas? I'm a Doctor Who fan. I'm a little baby.
Honestly, like, I mean, we've said this before. We're miniseries girlies.
Yeah, like...
We love shorter seasons.
I don't understand the, you know, we could have 8 episodes every year.
Yeah.
In perpetuity, for as long as Russell wants to stay, whatever, or, you know, as long as Shooty's available.
Yeah.
8 episodes a year for the next, I don't know, 3-4 years? However long he stays as the Doctor for.
Yeah.
Or you can have a 12-episode series, a 14-episode series, but every 2 years.
Yeah. Also...
Give me the frequency.
Yeah. But also, to add to that, quality, not quantity.
Yeah, because that's the thing. There's no... In 8 episodes, there doesn't need to be filler.
No.
There doesn't need to be filler. In theory, none of these should be boring filler. This should be all moving the plot along. You know, it's why, like, you know, like Flux. I mean, you know, I might feel, you know, apathetic towards Flux, but, like, at least it stays relatively consistent. There was no, even though the plot line loses me, there was not a point in Flux where I was like, oh, this is treading water now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need, just fuck off.
Just go away.
Fuck, some people
need the internet taken away from them, truly. Like, please go and find something better to do. I mean, this is coming from 2 people recording a Doctor Who podcast, so bear that in mind.
Yeah, but all of our opinions are correct.
And well thought out. And we're adults. Okay. I'm going to read out the episode titles and all of the other relevant info. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Ready.
Ready. Space Babies, episode 1, written by Russ T. Davies and directed by Julie Ann Robinson. Stunning. Gorgeous. Episode 2, The Devil's Chord, written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Ben Chessel. I think that's how you say his name. Episode 3, Boom, written by Stephen Moffat. Boom, more like boo. Haha, I stole your joke. You said that yesterday and I stole your joke.
Fuck you.
And directed by Julie Ann Robinson. Episode 4, 73 Yards. Best graphic design out of all of them. I said what I said. Written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Dylan Holmes Williams. Episode 5, Dot and Bubble, written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Dylan Holmes Williams. Number 6, Rogue, written by Kate Herron, Slay, and Bryony Redmond, directed by Ben Chessel. Episode 7, The Legend of Ruby Sunday, written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Jamie Donoghue. An Empire of Death, written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Jamie O'Donoghue. They're some good titles, my friend.
I mean, I'm not going to linger on people complaining about it, but I know that a lot of people have lots of mixed feelings towards the fact that Russ T. Davies is doing basically the whole series. And I think, obviously, it's no more than he would write in, like, a sort of 13, 14 series run. It's just because, you know, obviously it's a lot more condensed down.
Yeah.
I was really excited. There's, like, a whole season that's basically being penned by a single person, because...
But also...
You don't really get it. And also someone who can write, so...
Yeah, and also, it makes no sense if they only had him write, like, 4. Because one, this is a condensed series, and two, the whole point of this new series and why it's exciting and there's all this stuff is that we brought Russell back. Let's use Russell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and use his ideas. Because I feel like a lot of people forget how much of series one that he wrote.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, he, you know, he, it's Rose, it's End of the World.
Yeah.
It's then the, it's the Slitheen two-parter.
Yeah.
He wrote most of it. As well?
Yeah, he wrote most of it.
Like, the two-part finale, like, he wrote basically most of series one. It's only sort of in the later series where he then starts to get a bit hands-off.
But basically, it's his job, so let him do his job. And he's really good at his job.
He's the writer.
But very, very exciting, Kate Herron. So Kate Herron is someone that I...
don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is. I do. So no. Kate is an incredible director. She's very, very cool. And she did the first series of Loki, which was actually very good in my opinion. I loved the first series of Loki. Second series wasn't as good because she wasn't involved.
I remember them being announced and like a lot of people were quite excited. And I was like, well, I don't care about or like any Marvel products, so I'm not going to be like unexcited. I'm not going to be like, I can't believe they got Marvel talent on board, because you know I'm sure some of these people are very talented, but also I don't care.
But I will say one thing about Kate Herron that I know is that she is one of those people that just is so generous with her time and like gives up a lot of her time to help up and coming directors, which I think is a wonderful, gorgeous thing to do. So absolutely. Love that. But yeah, no, she's super talented. So when I saw her name there, along with, I don't know who Bryony Redman is, but co-writing an episode, I was very excited.
Didn't they both do writing for Loki? I think they did. That was a story at the time, and then they both do writing for Loki.
But that's very exciting. And then also we have the return of the Mothmeister. I'm excited. I'm excited that he's just doing one episode, because in my opinion, where he thrives is one-off episodes. That's where I think he is really good.
It might be good.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
It won't be, but it might be. It might be interesting. It might be good. But he is writing for Ruby, so...
Yeah, that scares us. I'm not going to lie. My heart's going pitter-patter, pitter-patter. I'm a bit scared. But, like, I saw some people saying some stuff on Twitter again where it was like weirdos, actual people who need to be kept off Twitter and the internet, just being like, I can't wait to see what he does with Ruby. Like,
yeah, it's like, I know what he's gonna do with Ruby and it makes me sad.
Die. But not obviously, like, with Russell at the helm, he would never ever ever like let that shit slide. So because it's fucking fun. And it's also us, Loki, taking the piss out of what people are doing already. We're both going to rank them in the order we think we're going to like them. And then what we'll do is at the end of series 14, we will revisit the list that we both made.
Yeah.
So make sure you make note of it so we can reference at the end of the finale. That'd be fun.
Okay.
Or in our overview, actually. We'll do it in our overview episode, probably.
Who knows?
And who cares? We don't.
Scheduling, what?
Scheduling who? Who is she? Heard of her? Because I haven't. Let's do tit for tat, as we always do. Let's start from the bottom, work our way up to the top. Again, we know nothing about these episodes. This is just us being stupid.
This is the fun.
This is the fun content you signed up for. Episode 8. For me personally, I have Dot and Bubble.
This is going to be your least favourite.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Mm. I wonder what Elliot has as their last episode. Huh? Let's have a think. I don't know. Tell us.
It's a hard choice, but I have a feeling it's going to maybe be Boom. Hey, it might not be. There might be something that's truly terrible in the middle here. Who knows?
Can you imagine, like, on our a review of Boom, you come on the mic and go, hello, I'd just like to apologise because this is my favourite episode of the show that's ever been made.
Hey, like I say, I like Blink. I have things that I can, you know, go like, yeah, you know, it's a bit tropey, but I like Blink.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I actually like some episodes he does in his own tenure when I sort of, that's the vibe a bit more.
It's just your brand at this point. This is your brand and we have to keep moving
forward. It is.
Forward.
I also play into it.
Okay. Number seven. I've put Boom, written by Stephen Moffat.
Hey.
What about you?
I think it might then end up being, honestly, maybe Space Babies.
Space Babies, okay, yeah.
Russell, I love him. opening's not always...
Not always the strongest point.
Not always the strongest. Like, not to mean that any of them are bad. I like all of his openings, but they're never the creme de la creme.
Yeah. Except if it's Partners in Crime.
Gorgeous.
Or New Earth. Or Smith and Jones. What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
They're good, but they're never ones that I go back and I think I look over the series and I go, oh, this episode.
I
they
do
end up
New
being
Earth.
Fun when I watch them, but yeah I know I like New Earth, but I don't love it as much as you do.
Yeah,
like, I like Rose. I like Partners in Crime. I like Smith and Jones, but they're never when I look back on a whole series, they're not ones that I go, those are
those are
top tier.
Fair enough.
They all have the gridlock effect.
They all have the gridlock effect, they do. And if you don't know what we're talking about...
To me, they have the gridlock effect.
You're a fake fan. But Elliot, funnily enough, this is why at episode 6 I have space babies. I'm not going to lie, the thought of a baby talking is so funny.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it looks hilarious. And I sent it to you and I was like, straight away, for that to be the first episode reveal, I was just like, there's an episode written by Russell T. Davies. It's called Space Babies, and I love this show.
Yeah, I am so happy.
Space Babies.
But I did put it on for like similar reasons as to what you've just said. What's your six? What's your number six?
I think, honestly, I think Rogue.
Rogue. Okay.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Groff, but I have a feeling that, you know, I don't tend to enjoy monsters in the past.
Okay. Fair enough.
Myself. So I don't think I'm going to enjoy that one that much.
Okay, number five for me is Rogue. Because I think it could go either way. It's either going to be incred, or it might just be a bit like, from what I'm seeing. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Number five for you.
I don't know, because I don't know how to... I think it's... I know... I don't know, because I could justify fake reasons in my head for why they all might be brilliant. I think I'm going to say 73 Yards.
Okay.
Only because I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
Other than wild speculation and rumour, I don't really actually get much of a vibe from it. However, he is wearing a yellow duffer coat and like an orange bobble hat.
And he looks
which
cute.
Which I think is adorable.
He looks so cute, yeah.
If it's a mystery one, I'll probably end up really loving it. But you know, this might be one that you're thinking, why is this so going to be so high? And it's because I've heard some things about it. So
yeah, fair enough. So my number four is 73 Yards.
Yay!
Hey. What about you?
My number four.
Yeah.
It's going to be Dot and Bubble.
Okay.
Only for the pure reason that... So there was someone who on Twitter knew this title, and it's because they met Russell, and they were like, by the way, I love Wild Blue Yonder. It's ridiculous and fun, and the title is insane. He was like, oh, there's one in Series 1 called Dot and Bubble, which is just like Wild Blue Yonder vibes. The guy was like, by the way, I've got like a Twitter account with like 30,000 followers. And he was like, yeah, please don't ever actually tell anybody that I told you that.
Yeah.
And he did. He kept his secret.
That's good.
But the way that Russell has described it as being Wild Blue Yonder-esque.
Yeah. So.
I'm excited. So it sounds insane.
So my ranking is immediately incorrect. Love that.
Yeah, but you know.
We'll see.
You didn't know that, though. That's why this one's vibes. Vibes, man.
Vibes, man. And, like, I've put 73 Yards in this place. I forgot to mention it because, like I said, the graphic design of it, I just love the energy of it. The vibe is really cool.
Nice.
Number three for me. Now, this one, it has potential to be number one, purely because it's probably going to be a musical episode. And that's The Devil's Chord. That's number three for me. But we'll see. So I put it here as a safe option. What about you?
The Devil's Chord.
Hey.
Because I'm sure.
We might be more similar with these next few ones than we initially thought.
I like it. Yeah, I like the sound of it. I like that hopefully it's a musical, but I'm still not necessarily sold on the villain. And the Beatles are very precious to me.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
And, you know, it could be a bit cringe. But I think it'll be fun.
One thing I'll say as well, though, something I find very slay is Ruby being trapped by musical notes. That's funny. That shit's funny. Okay. Number two, for me, Empire of Death. The finale episode. Because Russell, that man knows how to do a fucking finale. Let me tell you, he is really good at them. But there's a number one spot, which is obviously now very obvious what it is, but we'll get to that. Number two, for you.
I think it's basically, because I imagine it might be like a two-parter.
Okay.
Like, you know, I'm sure it will be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be. But I think it's hard to, so in my mind, it's hard to separate them.
Yeah.
I think, based on just the titles alone, my number two is Empire of Death.
Amazing. Amazing. I love that we're matching on these last three. This is amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
You know that when they proudly announced episode 7 was The Legend of Ruby Sunday,
you
I
know.
Sent it to you and I lost my mind.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, number one for the pair of us, The Legend of Ruby Sunday.
Ruby Sunday.
We have seen her in one damn episode. And any time Millie Gibson does anything or the trailers have her in it or whatever, all we're talking about is Ruby Sunday. I love her so much.
I love Ruby.
I'm scared because you know Martha is my girl. She is my girl and I love her so much. And Ian is your boy, right? I'm scared.
Yeah,
I'm so scared because I don't know what it is about Ruby. It's just her character, her energy, and also just the energy between Ruby and 15. It's giving best friend. You know, we're two best friends going on a fucking wild adventure. Hell yeah. I don't know. I'm scared, Elliot. I'm scared. I think I love her more than any other companion that's ever come before this point. I'm scared.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm scared. I'm terrified.
It's fine. It's fine. It'll be fine. Be scared about how Stephen Moffat will treat you.
Yes, I'm terrified. But I think Russell will put a little blanket like, hey, I can imagine like Stephen Wright is saying a little bit weird, a little bit rogue. Uh-huh. Russell going, hey, Steve, love that. But we're going to not do that.
Rein it in, Lord.
Let's just rein it in.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Russell and Stephen are really good friends, you know, work colleagues, and they've worked together how many times on multiple things. So it's like, I have full trust. But
I love the shot in the Disney Plus trailer where Ruby, for some reason, looks like a sort of like 35-year-old, like,
yeah,
lesbian English teacher that you would feel comfortable sort of coming out to when you're in school.
I think, well, that's obviously going to be The Legend of Ruby Sunday, I think. That episode is just going to be, It's all very interesting. It's all very
exciting.
Her
legend is that she just grows up into a very nice, functional queer woman.
My lovely queer woman. But yes, so let's recap. So my order, and again, we'll find out in a few months' time if I was right or not. I feel I'm going to be really wrong. But because guess what? Again, we don't know fucking shit about anything.
No, you have decided.
And
you don't
know
anything about these, and this is where you plant your flag now.
Exactly. So for me, number A, actually, I'm not going to say numbers because that's annoying. So it's Dot and Bubble at the bottom, and we're going to go up. Boom, Space Babies, Rogue, 73 Yards, The Devil's Chord, Empire of Death, and The Legend of Ruby Sunday. Over to you.
I've got Boom, Space Babies, Rogue, 73 Yards, Dot and Bubble, The Devil's Chord, Empire of Death, and The Legend of Ruby Sunday.
I think our top three is pretty solid. I'm not going to lie. I think it's pretty solid. But we shall see. But you know what? I'm damn excited, man. I'm just ready. And you know what? I fucking need it. I need it right now.
Yeah,
I really do.
It's only just over a month when this goes out.
Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I'm so, yeah. Wow. So excited. Maybe we'll do some more like Instagram lives, perhaps, when they come out. Stay tuned. It's going to be fun times.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah. Wow. We're just being fed and watered. And it's been so fun, honestly. And like, I'm sure there's going to be way more stuff coming out up into the run of the series. I'm sure the premiere is going to be iconic. Can't wait to see everyone's looks because we know that they're very fashionable. You know, Millie and Shooty. They always look great. But yeah, what a fun time. What a fun time, Elliot.
Good vibes, man.
good vibes.
Well, that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of Come Along Pond, the Doctor Who Discussion Podcast. We hope you had fun. We sure did at trying to make sense of two-minute trailers and a bunch of titles with no context. But hey, take our word for gospel, because we are your lords and masters. if you like what you heard and want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpond. Over there, we have several tiers. You can watch the visual accompaniment to this episode, and you can also listen to it without adverts, or you can just be a cute little supporter. If you want to be like River, like Jason, like Becca Judson-Smith, like David Cummings, like Lucy, like Calvin, like Felicity, Scotland Riley, like Jess Williams, like Buffy Ernie, like Lucy, like Joe Dawson, like Stephanie, like Bex, like Michelle Whitney, like Ian French, like Susie Williams, like Beth McLeod, and Ruth World, you can follow us over there on any of our tiers. However, if you just want to give us some money but you don't want to have a reoccurring donation, you can do that over on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi/comealongpondpodcast. Since it's now working again, you can shout us the price for a cup of coffee, one for me, one for Tamara, one for both of us. We would highly appreciate that. However, you can support us in myriad other ways. We have TikTok, that's tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. Over there we post highlights and lowlights of all of our fun little moments. There is a good community over there, so you can just recap with clips. On the other hand, normally we read out three emails, and you can email us comealongpondpod@gmail.com, and we will endeavour at one point to read those out on the show. However, your one-stop shop for all of this stuff, Instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. Can't miss us. We've got the same artwork everywhere. If you want to know when we're going to be talking about Series 14, Series 1, Season 40, whatever the hell you want to call it, over there. You want to know we're doing an Instagram Live? Over there. We have archived Instagram Lives. We have stories. We've got reels. We have polls. We've got fun little interactions. Download our stories when I don't want to shout at the audience. We will occasionally reply to DMs if we like what you got to say. If we like the cut of your jib, we're replying to you. We have fun. It's a real nice place over there. Come on, Pod Podcast on Instagram. Help us get to at least 10k if there's another like 3k out of there. Please do. I love you. But with all that being said, it's been lovely joined by you, Damla, today. That was a weird way of phrasing that.
It's a bonus episode.
Damla, by you.
Very unplanned. We just thought, hey, let's feed them now and then.
Hey.
You know, since we started the bi-weekly schedule, obviously there's been less of the pod, and we just thought, let's just do this quick little bonus Momo. But honestly, love doing this with you. So much fun. Always, always, always. But I give you air from my lungs.
Incidentally, it's been lovely being joined by all of you at home as well.
Sorry, and then air from our lungs.
No, it's fine. Keep it in that order in a manner.
Okay.
It's more human than I just get to slide it in.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Give me the lovin'.
Yeah, baby.
Give me the lovin'.
Yes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.